Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about. Tech Guide. It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features. Tech Guide. This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere. Tech Guide. Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to episode 103 of Tech Guide, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. It's great to have your company. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to talk about the Todd Carney scandal and the dangers of social media. Speaking of dangers, we'll also show you how to spot a non-compliant charger after the electrocution of a woman recently. Tragic story. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to look at Huawei's Ascend G6 budget smartphone and LG's new G Watch. In the Tech Guide interview, we're going to talk to Game of Thrones star Liam Cunningham, a.k.a. Sir Davos Seaworth, about the new Game of Thrones exhibition. And we're going to finish it off with the Tech Guide Help Desk, and it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lot to talk about, so let's get cracking. Now, we're going to open the show by talking about the Todd Carney scandal and the social media fallout and how this has ultimately ended his career. Now, for those who don't know who Todd Carney is, he's a very high-profile rugby league player in the National Rugby League. That's the NRL. And over the weekend, and I should warn everyone, I'm about to describe what he was photographed doing. He was photographed urinating into his own mouth, a practice apparently known as bubbling. Now, this is some kind of craze that I hadn't heard of until this incident, and I hope I never hear of it again, to be honest. But the fact that Todd Carney was photographed in this performing this despicable act, and the fact that photograph was somehow shared on social media, has brought about the end of his rugby league career. The Cronulla Sharks, his current or former club, decided at a board meeting to terminate his contract. Now, this comes after he was sacked from two previous clubs. He's had quite a checkered career, has Todd Carney, formerly of the Canberra Raiders, then went on to the Sydney Roosters, was sacked from both of those clubs. Sharks threw him a lifeline, and this has been the final result. But I think the whole story really goes, it speaks a lot about how the proper use of social media and how the improper use can have devastating results, as we've seen from this incident. Now, social media, a lot of high-profile athletes and celebrities embrace social media as a way for them to increase their brand, to make themselves, to give themselves easier access to fans and followers, and when used the right way, it can be very positive for a person's career. The interaction with fans and those things really make it a great experience all around, and the results can be excellent. In the opposite corner, the misuse of this kind of medium, sharing that we've seen with Todd Carney, the misuse of social media can really turn around and have devastating results. In the case of Todd Carney, the picture spread like wildfire on social media and just really brought home the fact that social media is like a fire. It can on the good side, can illuminate someone as bright as a star, but that same fire, if used the wrong way, can burn your career to the ground. I think it's a good rule of thumb. I always tell people about social media that never to share something on social media that you wouldn't be comfortable seeing on the front page of the newspaper, or the top story on the evening news. So with that in mind, I think it should be where the saying goes, when in doubt, leave it out. In this case, Carney alleges that he didn't actually share the photograph. It was shared by a so-called friend who says his phone was misplaced and the picture just got out there. It's very hard to get to the bottom of this story, but the bottom line is that it happened. Todd Carney was photographed performing this act, and it's now cost him his career. I think, though, he should be looked at as a cautionary tale for young, up-and-coming sportsmen and women who want to have a long and prosperous career in their chosen sport. But I think it does drive home the fact that what you do off the field can have just as huge an effect as what you do on the field. I think clubs owe their charges, their players, a duty of care to ensure that they do know that there is consequences for what happens off the field. The law applies even more to high-profile people, and the reactions to incidents like this just could spread even faster considering who they are. Now, people say, well, you know, if this happened to a bricklayer, would he still have his job? And you know what? They're probably right. But Todd Carney's not a bricklayer. He's a role model, a very highly paid rugby league professional who signed a contract, and part of that contract said they would not bring the game into disrepute. So it is a sad story. Todd Carney's a 28-year-old man who has obviously got problems with alcohol, has been through three different clubs now, and there's no telling what's going to happen to him. But he may end up playing English rugby league or French rugby. But where he wants to play, the NRL, I think, is closed as an option. It is a sad story, but a lot of people are saying, well, he brought it on himself. Social media, as I mentioned, that's the link to this segment on Tech Guide, is something that can be so great and so positive, but as I said, when used the wrong way, can have dire consequences. You're listening to Tech Guide.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Next up, we're going to talk about non-compliant charges. Now, this follows the story recently of a young lady who purchased a USB charger and subsequently was electrocuted in her home. The investigators found her in her home, apparently after she plugged in this charger that was a cheap import that she bought at a little kiosk in a shopping centre. It turned out that charger didn't meet Australian compliance and resulted tragically in her death. Now, New South Wales Fair Trading has been busily urging customers to check their charges to ensure that they do have charges that meet the high Australian standards. There are many cases where you might go down to the markets and see a cheap charger and think that saving a few bucks on this type of charger may be a good idea. Well, you know what? That may just be a fatal mistake. Now, I've written a story on Tech Guide about how you can spot a non-compliant charger. It's not that hard. You need to look for certain symbols on your charger. The symbol is a tick and is usually located where the prongs of the charger, that the part that you put into the power point, is located. Now, the tick can be either in a circle or can be in a triangle within a circle as well. So a triangle, and there's a circle inside the triangle with a tick, or the tick can just be inside a triangle. I have put up on Tech Guide a story with these symbols so you can spot. You can check your existing chargers. If you've picked up a charger, a cheap charger somewhere, it's worth checking whether it does have that compliance symbol, which is called the C-tick. It has to meet Australian standards. If it doesn't, the New South Wales Fair Trading is urging people to bend the prongs towards each other so it can't be used and to immediately throw them out. And if anyone sees a store or kiosk selling what they believe to be non-compliant chargers, they can call Fair Trading on 13 32 20. But this story, as I said, came to light. That woman was tragically electrocuted. She innocently plugged in a charger that turned out to be non-compliant, and it did cost her life. Worth checking your charges. buy brand name chargers, that those extra few dollars just aren't worth it. Those extra few bucks you're going to try and save just aren't worth your life. So check your existing chargers. If you are going to buy a new charger, make sure it meets those standards. You can check out techguide.com.au. There you can check out those symbols to look for.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand, and they have been quite busy releasing a new range of products, including the AC1200 high-powered Wi-Fi range extender, the EX6200. Now, you can power up your home network with Netgear's new high-powered Wi-Fi range extender. It can put Wi-Fi into every corner of your home, thanks to the 802.11 AC technology. Technology on board. It's perfect for a home theater setup. You can connect 5 wired devices to the gigabit Ethernet ports or stream HD video content from USB hard drives connected to the USB 3 port on the device. With a powerful dual core processor on board and high power amplifiers, you'll have Wi-Fi wherever you want it throughout your home. You can even now have it out the back of your home, in your second story, up in the bedroom. Having the Wi-Fi range extender from Netgear helps you do that. You can get the EX6200, the fastest AC Wi-Fi range extender, is available now from Netgear. You can check it out at www.netgear.com.au/max Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett. Tech Guide.
Okay, our first review is for Huawei, the Ascend G6. Now, this is a smartphone that's aimed, it's a budget smartphone, I've described it. My review, which is on Tech Guide right now, it is a device that's not as big as your other typical Android devices. It's got a 4.5-inch screen, but it is very slim and it is very light. It's 7.5 millimeters thick and only 115 grams. It's got a 4.5-inch screen, so it makes it slightly larger than the iPhone 5, but does have a screen that is actually half an inch bigger. Now, it does have a screen resolution of 960 by 540, and that's got 245 ppi. That's pixels per inch. Now, it's very comfortable to hold in one hand. It isn't a gargantuan screen. It's not like a 5-inch or above size screen. So it is very easy to hold in one hand and operate with one hand. And as I said, it's not much bigger than an iPhone. It's got a detachable back cover, so you can easily insert a SIM card and a micro SD. You can see the battery, but it can't be removed. Now, the Ascend G6 is, as I mentioned, a budget phone. I'll tell you the price. It's only $329, but does have a whole truckload of features. It's 4G connectivity to begin with. It's got its own Emotion 2.0 user interface, and that sits on top of the Android 4.3 Jelly Bean operating system. It allows users to even choose their own home screen style, whether the standard style with the apps on several screens, or what they call the simple style, which is an easier way to navigate the phone, a more descriptive way to access certain apps. And you can see actually in the review my hand, that is me holding the Ascend G6 in that simple mode. The other cool features are it's got a great back camera, so it's got an 8-megapixel camera. It's also got a 5-megapixel front-facing camera. So if you're a fan of selfies, if you're a fan of taking photos of yourself in front of landmarks and things like that, then this is the front-facing camera for you. Not only has it got 5-megapixel resolution, it's also got auto face enhancement. So you can actually, it's kind of like a beauty mode that helps you look your best before you share your selfies. It's also got a wide angle lens. It's got an 88-degree wide angle lens. So you can easily get yourself, your friends, or a landmark into your photograph. A lot of people travel. I've done this myself. You take a photo of a building or some kind of tourist attraction behind you on your travels. Having a camera like the Ascend G6 front-facing selfie camera, it does help you fit a lot more in the picture. There's even a preview window, so it can tell you, show you where to look. A lot of us make the mistake of looking at ourselves on the screen instead of into the lens of the front-facing camera. This directs your attention to that corner of the phone and also gives you a little countdown before taking your photograph. Another cool feature is the phone manager. and this runs diagnostic checks, so you can close down apps in the background, and it also ensures that by doing that, it can save you power. It also does things like emptying space that you're not using, so there might be stuff in your trash, you can empty that out. But all in all, a decent phone. It's got a Qualcomm 1.2 gigahertz quad-core processor and very responsive. It's got 802.11n Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 4. It's also got screen mirroring, so if you've got a smart TV, you can mirror the phone on your smart TV. Now, the G6 is priced at $329, and as I said in my review, Huawei may not have the brand power of your Apples and Samsungs, but they have produced a device that is punches well above its weight. Definitely worth checking out, and you can read my full review at techguide.com.au. Now, LG last week officially launched their new G Watch smartwatch. Now, this was previewed a few months ago, the fact that they were releasing a device along with Motorola. But what makes this an interesting story is the fact that the G Watch is going to be powered by Google's brand new Android Wear operating system. So this is an operating system, an Android operating system for wearable devices. Now, LG's G Watch is going to have that on board, as is the Motorola. I think it's the Moto 360 is their smartwatch as well. Now, the LG G Watch has a 1.65 inch screen. It's made of stainless steel. It's also waterproof to a depth of a meter. And it has the IP67 rating. It's got a 1.25 gigahertz Qualcomm Snapdragon processor. Now, it's got Android 4.3. Sorry, it can connect to devices running Android 4.3, and that's any Android smartphone, by the way, not just LG smartphones. Samsung's Gear watches can connect only to Samsung devices. Not so with the G Watch. Well, the fact that it's running Android Wear, which is kind of an agnostic across-the-board Android application operating system, so it connects with any Android smartphone running Android 4.3 and above. It connects wirelessly using Bluetooth 4.0, and it can give you the usual notifications like calls, missed calls, text messages, emails, and things like that. But it can also provide information from Google about that's relevant to your location. Could also be used for exercises, your step counter, your exercise register, and it's going to be available. I think it's already available for pre-order in the US. But it is coming to Australia in the coming weeks. So stay tuned. No pricing's announced. No official release date has been announced. But it has gone on pre-order in America. Will probably be pre-ordered later this week, early next week for Australia. For I'd say maybe a late July, early August release. But keep an eye on that. The LG G Watch, LG's first entry into the smartwatch market. Looking forward to that. If you want to read more about that, you can do so at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Our Tech Guide interview was a real treat. It was with Liam Cunningham, who is also known as Sir Davos Seaworth in the very popular Game of Thrones. We caught up with him, his first trip to Australia, and we had a great chat with him. He's a lovely guy. He's here in Australia to promote the new Game of Thrones exhibition, which we have also attended at the Museum of Contemporary Art. Starts July 1 in Sydney, I think goes through to July 5 or July 7. So well worth it. If you're a fan of the show, I have to say the exhibition is excellent. It's got costumes and original props, and the actual Iron Throne is there as well. If you're a fan of the show, it's a must-see. I was geeking out at this exhibition. I thought it was excellent. They've also got an experience, a virtual reality experience using a device called the Oculus Rift. Now, you basically wear this over your eyes, gives you a virtual reality tour of the wall. When you get in there at the exhibition, it's like you're going up in the elevator, winched up to the very top of the wall, and then when you get there, you can actually get look to the top of the wall, look down the front of the wall. If you're scared of heights, it might scare you, but you can also look around at your surroundings. It is amazing. But we had a sit down with Liam. We asked him several questions about being involved in Game of Thrones and how he came to be an actor. We had a great chat. And here's what he had to say earlier.
Well, hi, Liam. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Australia. This is your first time to Australia, I understand.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a long time coming. I'm close to death, but I've actually finally made it down here, so I'm very, very, very pleased.
Being a cast member of Game of Thrones, you probably that's something you're used to, being close to death. Your character's gone through a fair bit in the seasons that I've seen. Yeah. So what's it like to you're part of, like, the biggest TV show on the planet? Like, what's that like?
It's kind of weird. I mean, when you get on board with these things, I mean, I came in season two, and after season one, there was obviously stirrings about the show and the quality of the show. But, I mean, what was interesting, you can't legislate for these things going through the roof. But the scripts were good, and I've been long enough in the game to recognise a good script when I see one. But it's, as I say, it's in the power of people who watch it and the fans to turn it from something that's good and watchable and high quality to turn it into a phenomenon, which they have.
Well, speaking of which, it's become such a phenomenon that there is now an exhibition, which is one of the reasons why you're here in Australia. So the show's big enough to have its own exhibition. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's, and all congratulations go to HBO and Warner's down here who've organised this. I think it's a thank you from the people who make this to the fans who have been so loyal and have bigged it up and turned it into what it is. And it's well worth, if you're a fan of the show, it's absolutely well worth going to see. Mm-hmm. To the extent that it has to get out of here in the next week or two, because the costume, and my costume that I wear in this is here. It has to get back, or I'll be acting naked in this show. So it's the real stuff. It's the props. It's the costumes. It's loads of stuff from the background, storyboards, and I think there's some fan art there as well, which some of it is absolutely exquisite. Yeah. And you will not be disappointed if you get along to see it.
Well, it just illustrates the scale of the show and the popularity. Like, yeah. how do you go, your day-to-day life now? Has it changed now that you're a Game of Thrones actor? Do people recognise you and you questions and things like that? Or?
Yeah, well, I mean, I started late enough in this game that I don't need my ego massaged, if you know what I mean. I don't get impressed with fame or I get impressed with fortune, but not with fame. So what's really... I'm going to give you an example. The World Cup is still going on. And the show was enormous. I mean, it's enormous everywhere, but in Brazil, it's particularly big. And I was lucky enough to be invited along to the World Cup, and I was heading for the opening ceremony. And we went into the shade as we were walking around the stadium. So I took the sunglasses off. It was like a sugar bowl to a load of wasps. I was just inundated with people coming over. Oh, yeah. And it's really weird. I mean, you're anonymous nowhere anymore now, because the show is such a worldwide success.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's not one of those things that's just big for its own sake. I mean, one of the reasons I follow it around, and I don't normally do this as an actor, obviously we don't need to even try and sell the show. It's just, I'm really proud of it because it's really good, and it's good grown-up stuff, and it's not patronising, it's not lowest common denominator, it's complicated, sometimes it's difficult to watch, but it's incredibly rewarding.
Absolutely.
And it does really, really reward the viewer who sticks with it.
Totally. Were you a reader of the books, or have you read any of the books?
I still haven't read any of the books.
Okay, you don't want you don't want to spoil it? Or?
Well, for two reasons. I don't want to spoil it for myself, and I'm really lazy. As a friend of mine said one time, I read a book once, it was green. I'm a slow reader, and I'm waiting to break a leg. And if I'm sitting in hospital, I'll get my wife to bring in the bag of
books. That won't happen. Although that is a term of wishing someone good luck.
I suppose it's an acting term of good luck. Yeah, touching wood and all that. No, it's I like the way it rolls out, and I like not knowing what's going to happen to my character.
Sure.
And as well as that, you have to remember that. I mean, we're gonna catch up with the author, because he's only halfway through the sixth book now. It's a seven book cycle, and he's only halfway through. Mm-hmm. So nobody really knows what's going to happen, which is kind of cool in a way.
But it has sort of looking forward to season five. Mm-hmm. And has your character is set up to have actually quite a role in season five? Have you seen scripts yet? Have you started shooting, or what's in store for your character?
Well, we start shooting in about a month's time, around the end of July, and I haven't. I should be receiving the scripts in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm the same as anybody. When I'm getting the scripts, I'm the same as people who are waiting for the show to come out.
Yeah.
It is genuinely exciting, and because I'm only a small part of this. It's a huge cast. Like, it's a really high quality soap, is what it is. You know, it's lots of families, lots of this.
I call it Sopranos with swords.
Yeah, somebody says it's Sopranos like meets Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You could well describe it as that.
Yeah,
and it's you wait with bated breath to see what happens. Not just to your character and your storyline, but how it affects everybody else and how everybody else's storylines affects yours.
Do many of the characters flick forward to see, am I going to get killed
off?
Well,
that's what I say. Some of my fellow actors are like, oh yeah, I know how you read the script. Boring, 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 boring. My bit. Boring, 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 my bit. No. I'm equally as interested in other folks in the show as my character.
Yeah. Well, you've got an interesting, in the show, you don't have any of your fingers.
Yes.
So this is an interesting, I can see that you do actually have all your fingers
on there. I can play piano, play a couple of concertos now, yeah.
But in the show, so what happens? You can put little green things on your fingers.
Well, it's various, actually. It's not just the green screen, although we've done that. I've had my little finger socks that we put on.
Finger socks, yeah.
But I've also had a prosthetic, which I have in my little office at home, in a drawer. I do have a prosthetic top. That I did use when I'm found on the rock at the beginning of season three. That's a prosthetic.
Sure. Right.
But most of the time, because I'm wearing gloves, I have a specially sewn up gloves. The weird thing is that because these scenes are long and you spend so long shooting them, is that I forget to... What's very important when you have your fingers bent over like this, every 10 minutes or so, you have to try and get the blood back in. So you have to, open, close, open, close, open, close on the hand. And I forget about it. So if you're left doing it for more than half an hour, and then all of a sudden, you take the glove off and you go, oh, crike. As soon as you open your fingers, it's like having boiling water poured over them. It's really, really painful. So I have to remind myself to open them up and stretch the old the ligaments in the fingers now and again. Yeah.
And you are shooting, is it in Dublin? Is that where you...
No, it's not. None of it's in Southern Ireland. It's 80% of it's in Northern Ireland, which is where the main studios are, and the interiors of King's Landing and all that stuff. And a lot of the Westeros exteriors, the beaches and forests and castles and all that. But we also shoot in Croatia, in Dubrovnik, in Malta has been done, Morocco. So I think they're going to Spain this year.
Okay.
I can't tell you why. And Iceland as well, which is north of the wall. But I haven't seen any of the glamorous stuff.
Okay.
So I can either get into my car, leave my door and be in Westeros in an hour, or I can take the train, which I love doing.
It's handy then for you.
Oh, it's a gift, man. It's a gift. It's up the road. I don't have to uproot the family or any of that crap.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I noticed the Queen visited the set the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you miss out on that because you had to come here?
I was coming over here. Listen, that's a no-brainer, that one. I'm coming down here, man. I've met Prince Charles a couple of times when I was at the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Okay.
But, no,
so
that's
you chose
fine.
Australia over the Queen?
Yeah, of
good
course.
Idea, mate.
Yeah,
well done.
Of course.
That's good to know.
Meet her anytime. You can only come to Australia once. It's very far.
Fantastic. Now, I was reading that you have started acting... you were an electrician, is
that's
that right?
Right?
You're a Sparky. We call them Sparkies here in Australia.
Sparks.
So you you decided, look, I'm going to try this acting caper.
Yep, exactly.
And that's how it worked out.
Naivety is a wonderful thing.
Yep.
I was living in Africa. I lived in for 3.5 years in Zimbabwe, and I was doing a lot of network, high voltage kind of stuff. And then I got back to Dublin, and I was on leave of absence from the company I was working for, and then they put me back in a little van driving around Dublin, which just didn't seem to have the same glamour anymore. So I was genuinely looking for something to distract me, just a hobby. I saw an ad in the back of a newspaper for an acting school.
Yeah.
I auditioned, got in, and in the space of a month, I'd say I completely just fell in love with it. And just I was looking for a hobby, and this thing just turned into a vocation.
Fantastic.
And 2 years later, I um, I jacked the job. I walked away and burnt my bridges and went for it. And then people were stupid enough to employ me. And I'm still fooling them.
Well, there you go. Well, now, well, it's been terrific. Watch you. I quite like your storyline with Stannis.
Yeah, he's a good guy. One of the few good guys, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It's coming together really nicely.
It is, yeah.
And in terms of season five, you mentioned you're about to start filming that. But how secretive do you have to be with? Because obviously everyone, you don't want to give away the farm. I know there's a set of books out there.
Yeah.
Is there like security? Like how tight is it? Is it kept within the cast?
You know what it is. I mean, on the front of the script, there's in very large writing it says the scripts are confidential. Please don't discuss them with anybody. Yeah. The interesting thing is that as you can imagine, you get people coming up and saying, you know, what's going to happen? And a couple of times for a laugh, I go, okay, I'm going to tell you, and they go, no, don't.
Want
to know,
really?
But they don't want to know.
Of course.
Yeah. And it's the same as anything. They don't want it spoiled because, I mean, you've only to go on YouTube and look at the... you know what I do to friends of mine who haven't seen the show? There's people, the friends of mine who don't have a television. but if, you know, they talk about, what's the story of this thing? And I go, okay, and I go to YouTube and there's a great little video called The Red Wedding Reactions.
Yes.
And for anybody that has not seen the show, and I say, right, I'm not going to spoil it for you because, you know, anything I talk about will ruin it. And one of the wonderful things with the show is the amount of surprises that are in it. And I show them this video, and they go, what the hell is this? And it really puts the hook in people because, and that's why fans love it. They have such a visceral reaction to what they're seeing on screen. And they've invested so heavily in these characters that when they're whipped away from them, you saw the video. People cry. They get angry.
Yeah, my social media feed just changes.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. The same with mine. I follow the Game of Thrones thing on, and it's constantly moving. It doesn't stop for a second. And that's one of the attractions with the show is that you know this thing as I've said before, this is a show that's made by grown-ups for grown-ups. It's challenging.
Yep.
Sometimes you're watching and you're just kind of going, it's really on the edge, this thing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for a grown-up audience, it's not lowest common denominator. It's not just made with bangs and explosions that just keep your eye busy. It generally questions you. It makes you question yourself.
Yeah. It's about the character.
Essentially, it's a story of, like you were saying about The Sopranos, it's about power and paranoia and jealousy and family and legacy and all those wonderful things. And it really does, in a bizarre way, in this weird world of Westeros, It really holds a mirror up to society in a certain way. It shows what power can do, and what the temptations with power does. And I think people recognise the effort that's gone into it and the reality of these not black and white characters, these grey, questionable, morality that these people have, and where is the moral centre of this whole thing, and that's the kind of thing that excites me with it.
Absolutely. Well. Mm. We really appreciate your work in it. We enjoy. I enjoy watching your character, watching the whole show. Yeah. We appreciate that you snubbed the Queen to come to Australia as well, mate. Thank you very much.
Please don't make that a headline.
But we really thank you for your time, Liam. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate
thank you
talking
much.
To you. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
This week's Help Desk, the Tech Guide Help Desk, is all about passwords. We've all got them. We've all got several of them, as a matter of fact. But how good are your passwords? Are they all the same? Are they all different? Well, we're going to go through a few do's and don'ts for creating a strong online password. But first of all, we're going to talk about what would judge to be the worst passwords of 2014. Splash Data has published a list of the worst passwords, and I really hope that none of your passwords are in this list, because these are so easy to crack, so simple that you're kind of painting a target on your back if you do so, if you have a password like this. The top password, the worst password, was 123456. That was the top password ahead of password. Password is the pair password. Number three was 123456789. Number four was QWERTY. Number five was ABC123. So can you see where we're going here? These simple passwords are not going to help you. So we need to put some thought into our passwords. We need to make them all different so to help you to prevent anyone hacking your account. Now, we recently saw the Find My iPhone, the iPads and iPhones being hijacked by the Find My Phone. Now, what would happen in that case, Apple wasn't hacked at all. Somehow, these hackers got hold of usernames and passwords. And they thought, well, you know what? We're going to assume that all of these users are lazy and they don't change their passwords for several accounts. So all of these names, usernames and passwords were tried across several different accounts. And one of them was iCloud. And they found that a lot of these passwords and usernames worked. So what they did, they actually held the iPads to ransom. Using Find My iPhone, they actually logged in as that person and reported that their phone had been lost and locked the phone. So that they said, okay, my phone's lost. I'm going to lock the device. And what happens? The person discovers their device is locked and they get a note to say, if you want it unlocked, you have to pay us $100. Now, subsequently, these people were caught, but it does illustrate the fact that not changing passwords between your accounts means that if one falls, they'll all fall. So that is probably the number one on my do's is have a different password for all your accounts, because if one is cracked, then they're all going to be cracked. Number two, include letters, numbers, and symbols. Capital letters, lowercase letters. That variety can make it a lot harder to guess those passwords. You don't want something that's really easy to guess. Use a password with 8 characters or more. The more characters you use, the harder it is to crack. A tip I offer people, create a unique password. There's one way you could do it. Try to remember your favorite line of a song or favorite line of a movie and take those words and take the first letter of every word. So if your favorite song is Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Well, that would become DYKTWTSJ. Now, no one would know what that is, but you know that is the first letter of the words to your favorite song. And I just sang on my podcast. I hope you're still with us. Number five, use a password manager. There are several out there that allows you to kind of use a password locker. So this can handle and remember all of your passwords, can even create passwords on your behalf. But one thing, don't forget the password to your password manager. Now, onto the don'ts. Don't use your name or obvious words. It'll be the first thing that a hacker's going to try. You're just going to make it easy for them. Don't repeat the same password for several accounts. We've already said this. People complain, oh, look, I've got so many accounts. It's hard to remember different passwords, different accounts. It's just easy to have one password for everything. Well, you'll find the hacker won't be complaining because they'll be into everything that you've got online. So it is worth the effort. Don't use a sequence or numbers or letters. We are from referring to those worst passwords of 2013. A, B, C, D, E, F is not an effective password. Neither is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, because that's either stupid or lazy doing that, and you don't want to be either of those. Unfortunately, there are some people who are a combination of both. They're either one or both. Not a good thing to do. Don't write your password down. So don't have in the front of your diary all of the names of your accounts and all your passwords, because guess what? You lose the diary and you've lost everything online as well. And don't share your password. There's a surprising number of people who just hand out their password to people. Oh, yeah. Log in. That's my password if you want to check it out. Don't share your password, everybody. Do not do it. Well, hopefully these tips can help you create a very strong password. If you want to read that entire story, you can see it at techguide.com.au. Oh, how time flies when you're having fun. That's the end of our show for this week. You can read more about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. We want to thank our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been really great having your company. We look forward to for you to join us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.